What's up, gang? Thanks for listening to the Undiplomatic Podcast, the show with undiplomatic takes about the foreign policy scene. I'm your host, Van Jackson, and this week is going to be a little bit different. So, to be honest, I was out in the sticks in this gorgeous fucking baller-ass place, but it didn't have like super great reception or acoustics. At the time that I was supposed to record the normal kind of variety show style episode that we do each week with Pete and Jake and Kiara and Gabby, I wasn't going to have an episode for this week, but actually I've been keeping up a pretty steady clip of episodes since we launched, and I wanted to keep that going, one. Two, I had been noodling with the idea of resuming something that I did for War on the Rocks back in the day when I was writing my second book. I kept this online diary in real time called Nuke Your Darlings. As I wrote the second book, I was sort of blogging about it in real time. It was meta. It was me reflecting on the writing process, the frustrations, the uncertainty, the insecurity of writing a book, and just sharing that with people, best practices, narrating events, kind of like road testing ideas as I was coming up with them. Very, you know, experimental thing. And it served me really well in keeping me accountable to a schedule to get the book published quickly and on time. And I've got a new book that I'm working on now. Technically, I've got two, but one of them is already under contract and has a timeline associated with it. And this book, I need to deliver with the same discipline. I have a slightly longer timeline, but I need to stay accountable to myself. And so I thought, you know, maybe I should do another Nuke Your Darlings, except that I wrote in that diary, I think I wrote over the 6 months of writing the book, more words in Nuke Your Darlings than I did in the book itself. So the book was like 110,000 words, something like that. And Nuke Your Darlings was like 170,000 words. And of course, it's kind of stream of consciousness stuff. But that's a lot of bandwidth to use just for keeping yourself accountable. And so Nuke Your Darlings was kind of too heavy of a lift this time around. But I do want that accountability mechanism. And I do, you know, it's nice to be able to share insights, frustrations with other people. I got a lot of feedback last time that helped people with their own writing. So I thought I would do something like that again, except this time using the podcast. So what I'm going to do is basically, I'm calling it Writer's Room provisionally. Just like there are hustle episodes where I interview people on the move in foreign policy, got the normal variety show. The writer's room is going to be me effectively sitting down with people who are working on books generally that are already under an advanced contract. So there's like a fixed deadline they have to meet, and get from them insights about the writing process, what they've gone through, what they're going through, any best practices they might have, and then like a sense of the book and that kind of thing. So this is intended to be insightful, motivational, inspirational, or at least, you know, empathy building, you know, make yourself feel better because we're all struggling so much. I don't know. But I'm going to start that real soon. For this first episode, you know, I just wanted to, it's my first check-in on accountability for this third book. I'll tell you briefly the working title. It's with Yale University Press. It's called Risking the Asian Peace, American Statecraft and the Fate of the Indo-Pacific. You know, these book titles change 1,000 times before they are published, but that's the official contracted title, so we'll see what happens. I like it, but I liked my old original title and it changed 50 times before settling on the title On the Brink. And this book is, just to give you a sense of like where I'm coming from, there is a large literature in Asian security about the Asian peace, the absence of war in Asia since 1979, or, you know, depending on how you date it, but for the absence of interstate war for a long time, a super valuable thing. A lot of the research explores different factors that have contributed to the Asian peace, contributed to the absence of war in Asia. Very valuable object of anyone's statecraft. Like, we should all be invested in the Asian peace, right? But in Washington, nobody thinks in these terms, one. And two, the literature on the Asian peace is very, like, disconnected from how Washington and how Americans, frankly, think about the absence of war in Asia, right? Like ranging different causes of the absence of war from like deterrence and alliances and military superiority to softer stuff like regional institutions and economic interdependence and democracy promotion and identity and norms. And you've got a range of things that are collectively responsible for this outcome that's very valuable. And my bet is that we can use that knowledge to set up a way of interpreting past history of U.S. statecraft in Asia, but also of setting up guideposts for U.S. statecraft today and going into the future, right? I'm trying to implant the Asian piece in the foreign policy imagination in a way that it's just not. Like, almost nobody in Washington ever talks about the Asian piece or thinks about it. I'm kind of setting out to change that. And so I officially sent the contract signed today. I've been sitting on it for a little while. And, you know, the review process took quite a long time, but now it's locked in. So I've spent the last like 3 weeks converting the book proposal, which was like, 20-page thing, something like that, into the introductory chapter. So I've got a sort of rough draft intro chapter as of right now. I sketched out a chapter by chapter outline for how this book's gonna go. So like I have this notional blueprint for the project, but already like I sat down this past weekend when I was out in New Plymouth, this sweet ass beach area in New Zealand. And I had a few moments to write because that was part of the motivation of going. Just sitting down to write beyond the introductory chapter, I ran into problems immediately of like, well, the outline that I set up is not quite correct. Like the chronology, the chapters, the historical case study chapters broadly make sense, but I have this theoretical framework chapter up front that it looks like I'm going to have to break into two chapters. And the challenge with a theory chapter in a book where you're trying to actually make money selling copies is that like you don't want to turn off policymakers and practitioners. You don't want to turn off the airport bookstore audience, right? And so it can't be too dense or too esoteric. But this thing also has to pass peer review, right? Not just because that's my fucking day job as a scholar, but like it's Yale University Press. Anytime it's with the university press, like you have to take academic rigor seriously. And so I got sort of lucky threading that needle with my last book. I'm trying to do that again, right? Speaking to multiple audiences at once. We'll see how it goes. My struggle right now is in breaking out, one, how many chapters is this quote-unquote theory chapter supposed to be? Two, how theory-ish is it gonna be? And I guess three, I'm kind of balancing simultaneously reading up on the history that's going to comprise the case study chapters and sort of reading and taking notes and doing that ammunition building process. But it's all stuff that I'm not going to get to until later. And at the same time that I'm doing that, I'm having to physically actually write the sort of framework chapters that set up, that help us make sense of each of the case studies, right? That anchors the core argument. I do have a core argument. I'm not like quite ready to share it, right? I'm not totally clear yet how much detail I want to give on the book itself in this session because I don't know. I don't want to self-sabotage. I'm trying to be accountable without self-sabotaging. So we'll see how it goes. I'm feeling generally pretty good. It's nice to be writing about Asian security in a much broader sense. It's kind of a different skill set than writing about a particular country or viewing the region through a particular country's perspective, which is much more the norm. I like to say like regional analysis is its own skill set separate from country domain expertise, you know? So I'm really testing that here. Anyways, this is a very exciting project. Glad you're listening. And intermittently, you're going to see episodes pop up that have the designation writer's room on it. I'm going to try to self-check in on these episodes every once in a while, doing like I'm doing today. But I'm also going to try to bring in guests. As you hear about you know, friends who are working on books, if they have an advanced contract, let me know and I can try to get them in the queue. I've got a few people lined up already to talk to, but, you know, anyone with an advanced contract who is interested in talking about their writing process, progress, frustrations, all that, I'm down to talk with them and have them on the show. The reason I specify an advanced contract is mostly because, you know, with like a screenplay, it's like fucking everybody's got one, right? Everyone's working on one. But in reality, most people are not actively working on one. With an advanced contract, you have a commitment, you have a clear deadline, and a clear deliverable. And somehow somebody has judged that your proposal passes muster. Like, this is plausible, it's realistic, it's doable, it's sellable. Because, so like there's a quality test that has been passed if you have an advance. So I'm not necessarily looking for people writing books on spec, although that's interesting in itself. And like at some point I might be, but just for the time being, I'm looking to engage some folks who are in that advanced contract phase of a book project. So I'm going to leave it at that. I'm talking myself silly here. Hopefully you enjoy the Writer's Room series. I'll have another check-in real soon and I'll start getting the guests lined up as well. That's it for now. Take care. Peace.
Peace.